Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackley, but it is Monday, September 25th. The week three recap coming at you. Of course, we still have two games to go, but whatever. We'll recap Sunday's games. A wild Sunday at that. I mean, some craziness. Not only some teams running the scoreboard up, but a couple major upsets. So we're not going to beat around the bush. Let's dive right into it. We're going to start with Tennessee and Cleveland. And, well, Cleveland got back on track. I said it was a rubber meets the road kind of week for Deshaun Watson. And honestly, I think he passed the audition. Wasn't massive. But 289, that was the most passing yards he had so far as a Brown. He went 27 of 33, 80, just under 82% completion rate. Two passing scores. Ran for 16 yards. I mean, overall, good. And connected with Amari Cooper for their first touchdown. Cooper playing through that injury. 7 for 116 and a score. As far as the backfield is concerned, Jerome Ford is very clearly in the lead. 37 snaps for him, just 14 for Kareem Hunt, 8 for Pierre Strong. Ford scored as a runner. Ford scored as a receiver. Wasn't the biggest day, but that Tennessee defense is quite good. I don't want to sell them short. But if you have Ford, you're in the driver's seat right now with an RB2. I'll talk about Kareem Hunt tomorrow on the show, but I really dig Jerome Ford. On the other side, the biggest concern, obviously, here. Oh, and, I digress. I'm sorry. Wait. The Cleveland defense is friggin' awesome, by the way. Like, as good of a defense as we've seen in recent memory through the first 3 weeks of the season. Fewest total yards, 491 through three games since the 1999 Buccaneers. We know how good that defense was. On the other side, the big concern. Well, I mean, offensively, they were anemic. But Derrick Henry was out-snapped by Tajay Spears, 25-17. Are we panicking? No. It was a terrible game script. Henry had a little bit of a toe issue as well heading into this one. I'm not overly concerned here. We'll talk about Tajay Spears tomorrow on the podcast, but not overly concerned. Just more concerned in general for the offense. They need to start generating, being able to move the football. And, well, Ryan Tannehill is certainly not looking long for this job. And he is on a short leash. Maybe not necessarily this season, but long term. They have Malik Willis. They have Will Levis waiting in the wings to duke it out for that spot. Let's move on to Atlanta and Detroit. Detroit holding serve on this one, man. I thought this was going to be a little bit closer. And I thought we were going to see more Craig Reynolds. We didn't. We saw more Jahmyr Gibbs. And this is one of those where I'm happy I was wrong because this is what I wanted to see. I just didn't want to believe it. I was like, nah, there's no way. I know they're saying it, but, you know, we'll see Craig Reynolds get a dozen carries. Nope. 17 for 80 for Jahmyr Gibbs. Very encouraging right there. Zonovan Knight was up for this one too from the practice squad. But how about Sam Laporta? A star is born. The breakout is real here. 8 on 11 for 84 and a touchdown. He's officially locked into tight end one territory until further notice. Really digging that. On the other side, the team got beat up on, so I'm not going to really harp on the numbers too much. Bijan Robinson significantly outsnapped Tyler Allgeier 52-20, though it was because they were playing from behind and he's the passing down back. So I'm not freaking if I have Tyler Allgeier. And while Kyle Pitts didn't blow up, he went 5 for 41. That's 9.1 PPR points. He had 9 targets, though. And again, it just feels like something is brewing here. I know people are going to still be pissed at 9.1 PPR points, but I thought it was encouraging. Tough one for Drake London. I think it's just going to be an up-and-down season, and he goes as Desmond Ridder goes, and Desmond Ridder hasn't been particularly good so far. New Orleans, Green Bay, what a wild game. New Orleans was destroying the Packers, just straight-up destroying. Then Derek Carr got hurt, and the Packers went on an 18-0 run to win the game 18-17. Derek Carr has an AC sprain, it sounds like, and it isn't significant, but we could see a little bit of Jameis next week. We'll talk about him tomorrow. Do like what we saw on the other side. Oh, by the way, Alvin Kamara is officially off of the suspended list, so we don't have to worry about like Tony Jones or Kendry Miller or anything. But I like what we saw on the other side. Like Jordan Love, it's not pretty, but this dude is a top 6 fantasy quarterback right now, and it's not pretty. but he has a nice connection with Romeo Doubs, who finally looked healthy. 12 targets, caught only 5 of them, but I don't care because one of them was for a score, 73 yards. Luke Musgrave as well. Not quite Sam Laporta, but Luke Musgrave, 6 catches on 8 targets for 49 yards. We'll talk about him tomorrow as well. Okay, let's get to the craziness. Miami won 70-20. 70 points. 10 touchdowns. A historic day. It was the fourth 70-point game in NFL history. It was the first time we've seen a 70-point game since 1966. They had 726 total yards. It's the second most in NFL history. First team with 5 passing touchdowns and 5 rushing touchdowns. I mean, everybody was going bananas. And, of course, Devon Achane, who I know a few Rad Packers probably dropped this past week. Fortunately, I blind squirrel, I suppose, because I didn't drop him in a league. And it was one of those leagues where I was like, uh-oh, did I drop him? did I do that? No, I didn't. Oh, wow. I'm fine with 62 points on my bench just as long as I didn't drop him. But if you dropped him, just know it happens. It happens every year. How in the world were we to know that not only would he play more, but he'd have a 200-yard game, all the touchdowns? I mean, come on. You know, it's there's no way to know that, especially after last week where he barely played and week one where he was a healthy scratch. So don't beat yourself up if that happened to you. And you can always go back and try and get him on waivers. We'll talk about him tomorrow. There are some concerns. There was no Savon Ahmed. Jeff Wilson Jr., his return is looming. So there's that. Raheem Mostert was awesome as well. 20 touches for him, caught all 7 of his targets. Tyreek Hill was awesome. Tua Tagovailoa was awesome. He had more touchdown passes than incompletions. It's just insane. He's been sacked 1 time this season. Like, that offense is just crazy fun. I will say this. Russell Wilson threw for over 300 yards again, which it wasn't the best outing, but like at least he's showing signs of life. He really had a nice connection going with Cortland Sutton, 8 on 11 for 91 and a touchdown. Marvin Mims continues to see little bits and pieces of uptick on his usage, 3 on 5 for 73, 11 routes run. We'll talk about him tomorrow as well. Moving on to the Chargers in Minnesota. Of course, there was a lot of good here, but the one bad, Mike Williams will be out for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. Yes, we will talk about Joshua Palmer and Quentin Johnston tomorrow on the show. Can't do much about that now, but we can talk about Keenan Allen. 18 catches, 20 targets. The 18 receptions is tied for the third most in a game in NFL history. Only Brandon Marshall and Terrell Owens have more in a single game. 215 yards. He was awesome. Justin Herbert, 40 of 47. 85%. He threw the ball 47 times and had an 85% completion rate. That's silly. 405-3. That's what we drafted him for. Thank you, Justin Herbert. Of course, the backfield is a mess without Eckler, but there is a good chance he could be back this upcoming week. Kirk Cousins has over 1,000 yards. He has 1,075 passing yards, and he's 0-3. Like, that's the most passing yards in NFL history by an 0-3 quarterback. 367 and 3 passing scores. Of course, one went to Justin Jefferson, who was pretty awesome. Only 149. Come on, Justin. Only 149 receiving yards in this one. 7 on 13 for him. Had a brief moment where it looked like he was hurt, but ended up being a cramp. Oh, and the Alexander Mattison thing. See what happens when you don't face a very good defense. 20 for 93. Solid. Adds 5 catches for 32 yards, 125 scrimmage yards on 25 touches. Not worried about Cam Akers whatsoever here. Oh, TJ Hawkinson, 8 on 11 for 78. That's pretty nice. When you don't score a touchdown, just rack up those catches. Okay, and then on the opposite end of the spectrum, New England beating the New York Jets 15-10, kind of like we thought it was going to be. Not much to take away from this one except, 3 main takeaways. First, Ezekiel Elliott has 17 touches and actually looked pretty darn good in this game for Zeke. So Stevenson had 20, Elliott 17. We'll talk about him tomorrow. Farrell Brown, no. He had 2 catches for 71 yards and a touchdown. He ran 4 routes. No, and don't panic if you have Hunter Henry. He ran 21 routes. And then finally, the Jets. I mean, it is a mess. I'm still not worried about Garrett Wilson. 5 for 48 is not amazing, but I'm not worried about it. He had 9 targets. They're still trying to get him the football. Breece Hall, 31 snaps. Dalvin Cook, 16. Michael Carter, 15. That's encouraging for Breece Hall, but the state of the team still discouraging in general. Buffalo and Washington. Washington got beat up on. 4 interceptions, 9 sacks. The first time we've seen that since 1985. That was Dallas who did that. The quarterback was Warren Moon, by the way. Josh Allen looking very good in this one. Scored as a runner, scored as a passer. And the beauty to him, like, it wasn't a huge day. 218-1 through the air. But when you add 46 yards and a touchdown, you add 10.6 points just with your legs. Now it all of a sudden becomes a very solid day. Stephon Diggs heavily used, 12 targets, 8 for 111. Gabe Davis giving us a Gabe Davis game, 1 for 35, but a touchdown. James Cook continuing to be heavily used, 17 touches for Cook. Goes up over 100 scrimmage yards yet again. On the other side, the lone bright spot, really, Brian Robinson, 10 for 70. He was actually outsnapped 32-19 by Antonio Gibson, but Gibson looks like he has absolutely no value here. And Sam Howell, man, 4 interceptions. He took 9 sacks. He's got 19 sacks taken through the first 3 games. That's the second most since 1970. Yikes. He may not be long for that job. A surprise, a shocker, Houston, 37-17 over the Jags, and a darn fullback returned a kickoff for a touchdown in this game. Wild game, but Nathaniel Dell. 5 for 145 and a touchdown. Now, he's not going to have that many yards every week, okay? He's a slot receiver, but he looks like he is very clearly, over the last 2 weeks, C.J. Stroud's favorite target. Nico Collins came back to the pack this week, but I'm not worried about him. He's still got a nice high ceiling. And how about C.J. Stroud? Through the first 3 starts of an NFL career, he is 3rd in passing yards. Only Cam Newton and Justin Herbert had more passing yards over their first 3 starts. We will talk about him tomorrow. The other side, you know, it's amazing. People destroyed me after week 1 when Calvin Ridley had a big game. Destroyed me. Because if you've listened to me or paid any attention over the last year, I had concerns. Not like I was saying Calvin Ridley's wide receiver 50. I think when it was all said and done, he was either 25 or 24 in my rankings for fantasy drafts. And I was lower by about 7-8 spots than a lot of people, maybe even slightly lower than that. But now all those people, after 2 down weeks, I just haven't heard from them. I don't know what happened. It's going to be up and down with him. I'm not trying to victory lap at all. I'm acknowledging that there are other mouths to feed, like Evan Ingram, who had 7 catches, like Christian Kirk, who had 4 for 54 and a touchdown, like Travis Etienne, who had 4 for 50, like, heck, even Jamal Agnew, who had more catches than Calvin Ridley in this one in place of Zay Jones. I'm acknowledging that. I'm acknowledging his ceiling is here, but I'm also acknowledging more of a back-end wide receiver 2 profile, and I think that's where we ultimately will settle out with Calvin Ridley. Etienne, 19 for 88, rock solid. 4 for 50 as a receiver, rock solid. There was 1 goal line carry in this game, and it was Tank Bigsby's, and he scored on it. There have been 3 goal line carries for the Jags this season. All 3 of them, Tank Bigsby, not Travis Etienne. That's a bit of a concern right there. Moving on to Indianapolis, Matt Gay had, this dude had 4 50-yard field goals in a game, 50-plus yarders. That's never happened before in the history of the NFL. He had himself a day. Zach Moss, though, I mean, hey, we now know. My concern with Indy was I just don't know who the guy is going to be. Well, we know it's going to be him now. 30 for 122, 2 for 23 and a touchdown, 32 touches for him. Significantly outsnapped Trey Sermon, who played 18. Remember, Deion Jackson is no longer on this team. So Zach Moss, 210 rushing yards over his last 2 games. Jonathan Taylor, who? I mean, I don't know. I don't know when Taylor's going to come back, if Taylor's going to come back. But boy, oh boy. Michael Pittman, quietly so good, man. 9 for 77. Josh Downs, 8 for 57. But how does that change when Richardson comes back? Because Uncle Rico was under center in this one. On the other side, Lamar rushed for over 100 yards. I mean, he had 101 and 2 touchdowns. He had over 20 points with just his legs. And whatever he does with his arm is just icing on the cake. Now, it was only 202, no passing scores, but whatever. 8 catches for 48 yards for Zay Flowers is nice. Don't panic about Mark Andrews. And, well, the backfield is a bit of a mess because Gus Edwards was concussed in this game. Carolina and Seattle. Ken Walker keeps rolling, man. Back-to-back games here with 2 rushing touchdowns. The first Seahawks running back to do that since Marshawn Lynch in 2014. He was very good in this game, and yet so was Zach Charbonnet. Only 10 touches for Charbonnet, and there's no risk of him leapfrogging Walker or anything like that. But Charbonnet, we'll talk about tomorrow on the show. Solid game for DK Metcalf. I wouldn't worry too much about Tyler Lockett. That'll be up and down a little bit at times. But Geno Smith, 296-1. I mean, this is like a Geno Smith from last year type performance. On the other side, though, I'm sure I can't be the only one who saw that the Carolina offense actually looked pretty good with Andy Dalton. Now, they were facing a so-so, if not worse than so-so defense, but Andy Dalton, 361-2. There have been 3 other quarterbacks in Panthers history with 350-plus yards and 2-plus passing touchdowns in a game: Cam Newton, Jake Delhomme, and Steve Berline. So now Andy Dalton is on that list before Bryce Young. He instant connection with Adam Thielen, 11 for 145 and a score on 14 targets. Not as much of a connection with DJ Chark, but did throw 11 targets to him, 4 for 86 and a score. Jonathan Mingo concussed in this one, and I mean, Miles Sanders wasn't that bad. He scored as a runner, only 24 rushing yards, but then 5 for 38 as a receiver. I love a 3-down running back. I'm a sucker for a 3-down running back. Chicago, Kansas City. All right, we'll start on the good side first. Kansas City, awesome. Patrick Mahomes, the fastest player in NFL history, to 25,000 passing yards by 7 games. Did it in 83 games. Matthew Stafford, 90. Dan Marino, 92. Get this. 97 for Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner, and Jared Goff. Goff got there in the same amount of time as Peyton Manning. How about that? He has the most games with 3-plus passing touchdowns and 0 interceptions before turning 30. He's got 22 of them, tied with Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson at 19, Peyton Manning at 17. By the way, Patrick Mahomes is 28, just turned 28, so he's got a little bit of time to pad those numbers. 5 straight games with a touchdown for Travis Kelce dating back to the playoffs last year. We'll talk about Rashee Rice a little bit. And don't worry about the CEH touchdown that was in garbage time. On the other side, we have a major problem. Justin Fields is swimming upstream. He is making mistakes left and right. He is not seeing the field. He's not seeing open receivers. He's doubting his first reads. I mean, it's so bad. It is so bad. I don't know how long he is for this job. This is not a buy low opportunity as far as I'm concerned. And heck, if I'm wrong, then that'll be great. But I'm not going out and getting him. He did run the ball 11 times for 47 yards. But I think the only bright spot here, Roschon Johnson outtouched Khalil Herbert 10-9. And, you know, he's trending in the right direction. It wasn't a great game for him, but trending in the right direction. It's just the team is a debacle. Okay, moving over to Dallas and Arizona. Arizona, baby! James Conner having himself a season so far. 14 for 98 and a touchdown. Caught 2 balls for 18 yards. Josh Dobbs, okay, I guess he's going to keep the job for a little while. He gave some value to Marquise Brown. Saw 7 targets, caught 5 for 61 and a touchdown. I'll take it. I will take it. On the other side, Tony Pollard, 23 carries. He's got 48 over the last 2 games for 122. Did chip in a little in the passing game, but, well, 3 catches, but minus 1 yards. I want to say his backup, Rico Dowdle, looked pretty sharp in this one. Minimal touches, but sharp. Jake Ferguson looks like he's going to continue to be a thing, and I'm not worried about CeeDee Lamb here. That was a weird, weird, weird game in a weird, weird, weird week. All right, let's round this thing out with Vegas and Pittsburgh. We will start on the Pittsburgh side. Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris are in a full-blown timeshare. Full-blown timeshare at this point. So 31 snaps for Harris, 28 for Jaylen Warren. We'll talk about Warren tomorrow. We'll also talk a little Calvin Austin. It was mainly just the one catch, but we got to at least talk about it because he saw 6 targets, which equal George Pickens. Thought George Pickens looked fine. They just didn't really need him because the scoreboard lies here. They were out to such a big lead early. On the other side, Davante Adams is awesome. He also, like Keenan Allen, saw 20 targets, caught 13 for 172 and 2. Jimmy Garoppolo was evaluated for a concussion, but he was fine. Goes 324 and two through the air, three interceptions. But the 324 is actually like oddly, whoa, that's a lot for fantasy. And by the way, Jacoby Myers back out there, speaking of concussion, back out there returning from the concussion, saw 12 targets, caught 7 for 85. He's going to continue to be a thing here as well. Josh Jacobs, I was at least encouraged. It was 17 for 62. Not great, but an improvement. Caught 3 balls as well for 18. 20 touches. Let's keep racking up the touches with Josh Jacobs. Maybe it's a little bit of a buy-low opportunity. I think we're seeing things coming together, even though this wasn't the best performance for the Raiders, coming together a little bit there, and that's going to help out Josh Jacobs as we move forward. All right, so tomorrow on the podcast, we're going to break down this week's waiver wire. A lot of players out there to target, and yes, there are going to be some big names like Devon Achane, who we will talk about. So that's tomorrow. In the meantime, you can go check everything out over at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK will get you 10% off. You can get in at any point because it's a 365-day subscription. Get in on that Discord community and join in on the fun at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. All right, enjoy Monday Night Football. I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.